So we're going to have time for a few questions.
Yeah, we're going to have an opportunity for some questions now, and I have a microphone that I'm glad to bring to you if there is someone who would be the first one with a question.
And Rick?
Yes.
Do the plates as well.
Yes. And maybe I can just mention at this time, I was to receive an offering earlier before the presentation. We'll do that at the end of the Q&A here just before we wrap up. Anyone?
I was wondering, what is your feeling on that movie, God Is Not Dead, and his argument? Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard about that movie, but I did not watch it myself. And I've heard a lot of good things about that, where I believe it's a student that argues with his professor for the reality of belief in God. Yeah. There's while you bring up that topic, there's a bunch of DVDs out there as well. I've talked about them before. It's the one called, there's one called Evolution Versus God. And it's where Ray Comfort goes around and asks people that believe in evolution, well, how do you prove it? And it turns out that they can't. And it's and I think it's the same kind of exchange between the professor and the student.
Yeah, is there another question, someone? Wasn't sure if the little gal was raising her hands or not over there. But anyone else a comment or a question? We're going to start the plates, too. And this is just if you desire an opportunity to give a little gift to... Yes, I'm going to get to her. Yeah. We have to have some speaking during the offering, so I'm saving our speaking.
I was curious if you could put the slide back to the eight things that new atheists would say.
The first eight?
Yeah, the last. It was like two or three slides ago. It was right at the end.
Oh, you mean the new ones?
The end of the presentation. Okay. Like one of them was about God, teaching children about God is bad, and there.
Yeah.
Okay, because I would love to hear you respond to one of these. Let's see.
Well, yeah, this is a claim that's made by Richard Dawkins. And this is just the nature of this their approach. They said, we are teaching them falsehood, and that's just like abusing a child. You're telling him mistruths, and you're teaching him mistruths. You shouldn't be doing that. We should take your children away and teach them in our state school system.
Right. How would you respond to the God of the Bible is a despot?
Again, they're claiming that there are some cases in the Old Testament particularly where God commands people to kill, some of the nations, Israel in particular, to kill some people because they were evil and they were disobeying. And the problem with that claim is that they misquote the context, why God is charging them to do that. And if you read the context, there is a good cause for doing that.
How does Richard Dawkins explain the information in a cell?
That's how he explained it. He was asked by a believer, so all this information in the cell, the DNA, where did that come from? And he hemmed and hawed for about a minute, and he said, that's not a good question. He just could not answer it. And there's actually a video which captures his response to that. Very embarrassing. And later he wrote a response to that, but even his response was nonsensical. I mean, like I said, the only difference between non-living matter and living matter is information. That's all. You know, and that information is in the DNA of our cell. It's not just the information, but it's also the computer programs. You know, as you know, when, you know, all life starts from one cell, and that cell duplicates exactly, you know, the first cell, 2 and 4 and 8 and 16 and so on. And then all of a sudden, a few of them change into different kinds of cells. You know, our bodies have 200 different kinds of cells, skin cells, eye cells, bone cells, you know, all these different. What if the program got the timing wrong and didn't create the bone cells at the right time? You know, we wouldn't have the human body. It wouldn't be here. It is an exact program that knows exactly how to do it. And moreover, it is redundant. The programming is redundant. The information is redundant. So if there's a mutation in one of those cells, then the other one can take over. I mean, the design is exquisite. Even Bill Gates, you know, admits that the program in the human cell is so much more complicated than the operating system running Windows on my computer here. And I'm reminded of that when I see the blue screen of death, that he didn't get a very good program there. I mean, the complexity of MS Word and all the applications on top of that, very complex. But they crash, they hang. You know, fortunately, our body it does much better than that. I mean, 80, 90 years, and we do pretty well.
I had a Christian friend who really believed that the atonement was morally repellent. Can you respond to that for a few moments?
Just briefly, I mean, I just think, well, Hitchens says, well, why would God do that? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. They can't comprehend it. You know, the fact that somebody else would be sacrificing his life for the sins of our sins. Just doesn't make sense.
Well, my friend who believed that, he felt like that was a bloodthirstiness, that God would require a blood sacrifice for, you know, for this person's wrongdoing. Why would you punish this other person?
And God is a just God. He demands that we be righteous, and we can't be righteous on our own. And so Christ paid the penalty for us.
Why did a loving God kill his own son? You know, and that's sort of a, you know, you look at that, and you can see that whole system in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But the rationale behind that is that Christ recognized that's what he was here for, and willfully went to become the sacrifice for us. I love the word in Isaiah, where it says, "We like sheep have all gone astray, and He sent, and we've all gone our own way, but God laid our iniquities upon His Son." And what an amazing thing that, just beyond the scope of imagination.
Yeah. Yep.
Would you put up your website up there so I can get a copy of it?
Yeah, the messages, the OSTA.com is my professional website, which kind of work I did. Messages has got all my messages that I've given over the last, or at least most of them over the last 6 years or so, including the ones in different countries. And general messages, message given in churches, sermons, what have you. The courses that I do, also on there. One more, Rick?
One more. One.
Quick comment. When you were saying that all the fossils of all the Neanderthals and Lucy and all that such was actually proved not to have proven human evolution from apes, my first thought was, then why'd they tell me that in school?
I'm sorry, why didn't...
That is what they told us in school.
Well, they're not going to tell you in school that that doesn't prove evolution. They
told us it did. It was...
It proves evolution, right?
That's what they said.
Yeah. And in fact, I have a story from one lecture I gave in Bulgaria. And Bulgaria, as you might know, was a communist country, and the teachers taught evolution in school. And I gave a lecture at a university which a retired high school teacher, biology teacher, came to my lecture. And the topic of my lecture was challenges to the theory of evolution. You know, here's why evolution is not true, because science shows it to be false. And I went through, you know, the fossil record and things like that. And he came up afterwards and said, you know, I'm sorry, but I taught all of my students false things. And he said, if you come back, could you give a lecture to my students who are now teachers, you know, at the schools where he taught at? And I said, sure. So I think it was 2 years later we came back, and I got to speak to two different classes, and I can't bring the Bible into it, but I said, here's the problem with the theory of evolution. And the first question I was asked in both cases by students, not the teacher, by the students was, so I see you don't believe in evolution, so how did we get here? That was an opening that, of course, I took advantage of. And so they got it. And the teacher, the professor, actually came to belief later on because he realized that there's nothing. There's no science behind that at all.
One last question.
Hi. I have several family members and friends that are atheists. And to me, that's, in a way, a great privilege to be a Christian in the midst of them. And at the same time, it's a very difficult place. I've read some books. I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist was a recent one I read. But I've noticed that you have a lot of resources and things like that up there, listed different books. It seems to me that this, so to speak, debate between atheism and Christian worldview is one that's pretty intense and has a lot of information to be known in order to really have a good conversation with somebody who's an atheist. My question is, if you were to condense this all down in simplified form, what would be something that you would give somebody as a tool to be able to reach out to these people in our lives and from an everyday standpoint or on occasion? Where could I even start? Because some of them in my life even believe what I believe is offensive to them, very offensive. And yet my heart is so much to try to reach them, and that's even why I'm here tonight, is to be able to hear more about how can I reach them. It just seems there's so much information, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah. Well, yes, there is a lot of information. And in fact, I told some folks already that I gave a lecture at the Seattle Creation Conference, and the topic was New Atheist Pseudoscience. And what I show there from a science point of view is the fact that evolutionists cannot explain the origin of the universe through the Big Bang. I mean, science just does not support that. Atheist science can also not support the origin of first life, you know, the first cell. There's just no way. It's a roadblock. You can't get over that hurdle. And it can't explain complex life forms at all. I mean, the neo-Darwinian evolution. There is just no science behind it. If you read, you know, one of Dawkins' books, I don't think I have it listed here, it's called The Greatest Show on Earth. And he said, here's the definitive proof that evolution is true. The definitive proof. So I read the book, and what does he say? Well, he can't explain how the first life came to be, but he says, oh, it probably could have happened this way. It might have happened this way. And the same thing with the transitions in evolution, you know, that Darwin was looking for to prove evolution. He just can't find the missing links because they were never there. They've always been missing. And so there are many good books like that. Well, I should say that's not a good book because it's not scientific. But then there's one written by a creation scientist called The Greatest Hoax on Earth. And he points out the flaws, you know, from science in Dawkins' book, The Greatest Show on Earth. Now, those are a little heavy to read, but and there's a lot more material. I mean, you look on my website, there's a lot of references to different books. And I've got a lending library if somebody's interested in reading some of those books. The list is on the website as well. And I can talk to you later, too, about some other choices.
Thank you so much for your participation tonight. Thank you, Dr. Laklama, also. Why don't we just show our appreciation? Thank you. I just wanted to offer my own quick comment about the atonement being repellent. And, you know, the atonement is a matter of faith. So it's going to be repellent to somebody until there's conviction of sin and the recognition for a Savior, certainly. But what we can also communicate is the atonement is what it is because of the seriousness of sin it demonstrates, and it demonstrates the love of God. And I think that's all that we can say probably in the end. So my thoughts just there too in the discussion period. A couple last things as well. Some of you, we're going to have refreshments now after we go from prayer, and some of you have asked if that's something you can assist with. So we put out a sign-up sheet on the Welcome Center. If you're wanting to bring something along during the next month, there's 3 months worth there, July, August, and September blanks, and you can fill that in, put your name as well as a contact phone number, and Heinz's wife will follow up on that to remind you or to find out what you're bringing or whatever so that that's organized a little bit. Thank you for that. And avail yourself of the resources that are there, and let's close in prayer tonight. Father, thank you for the privilege of coming together this night again to be reminded of the truths of your word, that you, God, alone are God, the creator of all things, but also the lover of our souls, and how we thank you for demonstrating that love and nothing less than the giving of your own Son. Strengthen our faith. We pray that you would also equip us more and more to be able to stand firmly for that faith as others ask us for the hope that is in us. So as we go our way now, bless our fellowship, grant us safety on our way home, and we now commit all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.